Remember when you were a kid? It was so easy to make friends. It was like, hey, you're a kid? Me too. Cool. We're friends. It gets a little more complicated as life goes on, but it gets more important. And here's the tragedy, guys. We have a loneliness pandemic that's literally killing people, isolating people. It's bad for our physical health, bad for our emotional health, bad for our spiritual health, but we can actually fix it. Maggie Craig lays out a simple path forward. We're going to talk today about how to do what your mom said to do when you were four. Make friends. Today on The Chris Stefanik Show. Welcome to The Chris Stefanik Show. We're here every week to give you the tools and inspiration you need to live your everyday life with joy. Missionaries of Joy, I want to thank you for making this whole work possible. And if you want daily inspiration, sign up for the Daily Anchor. And finally, this episode is sponsored in part by EWTN. You can catch this and so much more on EWTN Plus streaming. The link for all three of those things is in the show notes. Also, guys, before we jump in today, I want to invite you to some incredible life-changing journeys with me coming up in the year ahead. These things are going to fill up really fast. I'm leading a retreat with my bride to Kauai, where she had her conversion experience. We're going to have mass. We're going to dive into the full beauty of creation. We're going to let God speak to us through it all. I'm leading a retreat / pilgrimage with Father Dave Pavanka to Assisi next October to celebrate the 800th anniversary of St. Francis's death. And in June, leading a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Guys, these experiences are absolutely life-changing. Don't just go on vacations. Go on a trip that changes your life. The links to all those trips are below in the show notes. They're going to fill up really fast, so don't wait. Let's dive in today with Maggie Craig. Maggie Craig,
thank you
so much. That was a good high five.
I was. I felt pretty good about that.
I've been looking forward to this.
Thank you.
I've said this to you not in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. I want to say it in front of a camera to honor you.
Thank you.
Literally one of the best presenters I've heard in years. In many years.
Thank you, Chris.
I was moved watching you preach to youth at the Steubenville conference that we were at.
Thank you.
And I think it's because the way that you were formed as a speaker, mm-hmm. it's a lot like how I was formed as a speaker. Sorry, that just turned it around to Chris is actually praising himself.
And Chris is amazing.
But it's talking to people who mm-hmm. don't want to hear you.
Yeah.
Which actually makes you good. I've had people say, how do I become a Catholic speaker? If you want to be good at it, you're talking to audiences all the time who would be happy to hear over the loudspeaker before the assembly. Our presenter died on the way here today.
She got in a car accident. Her legs are cut off.
the assembly's canceled. Yay!
Yeah, they would love that.
But that actually makes you good because you can't mess around. Every 10 seconds has to be engaging.
Yeah. Yeah, when you speak in front of an audience of people who hate you, you learn right away how to make them love you. Otherwise, you've lost it.
Yeah.
So all the years of speaking to people who actively wish me harm, I think it's paid off. Praise God. God bless them.
Yeah, it refines you, man.
No choice.
Is it mostly like high school assemblies, confirmation retreats, things that people feel forced to go to by their parents?
You know, it's different all the time. I think my first 3 years, I spoke almost exclusively to middle school and confirmation. And that was in the fire. Mm. And I've moved away from that a little bit. I still do middle school. I have a middle school event in Dallas in a couple weeks. So I still do middle school. I still do confirmation quite a lot. But I get to do some more events where people choose to go there. And that's you can take a breath.
Yeah.
But it's also so rewarding when you win the kids over.
Totally.
So I just enjoy variety. I don't know how people do the same events over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So for me, I try to book as many different things as possible. Keeps it fun, keeps it fresh.
That's cool. Junior high, though, is uniquely frightening. That's a place I don't even go most of the time.
I'm there. One time, I was at a middle school event that was poorly planned by really good-hearted people. Mm-hmm. And right before my talk, they had icebreaker games. And all the kids were given rubber chicken slingshots.
Oh, good Lord.
Right before my talk.
And they didn't collect them
talk. So they go right into my talk. All 300 of them have rubber chicken slingshots. What do you think they're doing? This was a mistake. This is something I regret. But one of the kids shot a rubber chicken slingshot at my face while I was speaking.
No.
I grabbed it out of the air. I caught it. And I said, if you shoot a rubber chicken at me again, I will shoot you. Which I regret saying. I was in Texas. All the parents applauded. I don't own a gun. I would never do anything like that, but I was so frustrated, but it won them over and they loved it.
There you go.
The kid was like, and then they listened the rest
legendary.
Of the time.
You wrote about Friends.
I did.
It's a great book.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, before we go into that, book Maggie to speak at your parish event.
Oh,
there's the ad.
Thank you.
We'll put a link below.
Please do.
We'll put a link below in our notes.
Sounds good.
The Friendship Reset.
Yes.
It's actually the book reads in the way that you speak.
That was the goal.
It's kind of right. It's
that was
easy
the goal.
It's not easy to get through most books that are giving you advice about how to live your life. It's
That's
not.
So true.
This just goes down really easy. Dug up some stats. Okay, so this kind of blew my mind. 30% of Americans 18 to 34 said they're lonely every day.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Right? So most people think loneliness and they think like person at an old age home.
Like
that's true, but most of them are 18 to 34.
Yeah.
And that's skyrocketing real fast. Men, I learned this stat recently, or they feel so isolated, so alone. 80% of people who die by suicide are men.
Oof.
80%.
Yeah.
And then another recent study showed that 50% of the time people feel lonely, they turn to distractions that actually don't work. So,
sure.
Why have we forgotten how to make friends?
Yeah. Oof. Well, I don't think the devil wants us to have friends, first off. I think if we're isolated, we're a much easier target.
Mm.
I think of every nature documentary I've ever watched, the predator tries to get his prey away from the pack, because then they're an easier target. So I think the devil doesn't want us to have friends, first off. I mean, I think in this age of social media, we've been convinced that friendship doesn't require inconvenience, that we can have friendship, any sort of social interaction we want at our fingertips whenever we desire. And I think true friendship requires inconvenience of some sort. You have to push yourself out of your boundaries. And we don't want to do that. Coming out of COVID, people were very afraid. We were told that people would get you sick. So everyone was totally afraid. Mm. And I think that residual mindset is still in the minds of a lot of young people who were told like crowds, people, social gatherings, those are going to be harmful for you. Mm. So I think people are very afraid. We went through a global pandemic. We're still reeling. And we've been taught that there is an alternative to real in-person friendships, and that is friendships on your phone, which don't require as much effort. So then, of course, they're not as real.
Why are they not as real? I mean, it's
state
the obvious, just
sure.
to drive it home.
Yeah, we believe in an incarnational God. We believe in a God who took on flesh and dwelt among us. And true friends, they need to take on flesh. They need to dwell among us. Can you meet people through online? Absolutely. But it has to come into be real live, real person. Otherwise, it's a video game. It's not real. Person-to-person interactions where someone can challenge you, where someone can disagree with you, where someone can get in an argument with you. That doesn't happen as much when you're on the phone, because then you can just like turn it off, disconnect, go away. True friendships, you can't do that as much.
You wrote a lot in the book about toxic friendships.
Yeah.
Describe what those are, because it helps you see what actual real friendship is when you see what bad friendship
is. Yeah, I do think it can be overused a little bit. We love the phrase toxic. Okay, so this is the ideal. John 10:10, Jesus tells us that he has come that we might have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to have an abundant life, not in the way the world defines it, but in the way that he defines us, our full joy, freedom, peace. Okay, so if this is what God wants for us, this is what we desire, for us to become the best possible version of ourselves, everything in our life should be working to make us become the best possible version of ourselves. Not like we're going to be financially wealthy and healthy, but like our souls will be connected to God. We'll be doing what we're called to do, living a vocation of joy and freedom and peace. Okay. Friendships are a huge part of our lives. People don't like to acknowledge it. I don't know why. It's the number one indicator of happiness. More so than your job, more so than your family relationships, more so than health. If your friendships are solid, that's going to be indicating your happiness. So.
Hey, friend. I want to invite you into something that's changing lives every single day. People all over the world are rediscovering their faith, finding real joy, and learning how to share the gospel with confidence. And guess what? These lives are forever being transformed because of our Missionaries of Joy, our incredible monthly supporters. Everything we do, the Chris Stefanik Show, life-changing video series like Living Joy, Rise, Fearless, and Renewed, our live events, it all exists because of them. And I want to invite you to become part of this movement. When you become a Missionary of Joy, you're not just donating. You're stepping into a mission that equips, inspires, and empowers you to live the gospel in your everyday life and to help others do the same. And that's not all. As a missionary of joy, you get exclusive access to all our video series and empowerment to share them in small groups with friends. You get exclusive early access to new releases. You get Monday motivation texts direct from me. And you get access to our daily anchor, daily inspiration to fuel your faith. Here's the truth. The world is desperate for joy. People are dying for meaning. And together, we could bring them the hope of Jesus. The question isn't if you can make a difference. It's will you? Click the link below. Join the mission today.
Friendships are a big part of our lives. And friendships, if they are not helping us become the best possible version of ourselves, they're pulling us away. Like, what is a tree if it's not growing, Chris? What is it? It's dead.
Dead or dying.
It's dead. Okay. So if friendships are not leading you to your greatest joy, they're pulling you away. The Lord likes to make all things new. So like that's what he's in the business of. So we don't have to be afraid. But I would say a toxic friendship is a friendship that is pulling you away from God, pulling you away from your ultimate good. And some people might say, well, my friendships are neutral. No, they are not. They're either helping you grow or they're helping you die. So a toxic friendship is a friendship that is not helping you become a saint, helping you become the best possible version of yourself.
Awesome. Okay, so this is a holiness factor.
Then
there's all sorts of like other dysfunctional things that squeeze their way into friendships.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So I like that trademark Matthew Kelly, best version of yourself, right? But there's that whole concept that even within the framework of, okay, if my friend's not leading me to mortal sin, and then we go to church together, you know. Mm. But even within that, there's people who aren't helping me be the best version of myself. And I could spot those that,
yes,
you know, I don't feel that good about myself after hanging out with them. Like there's little things that are digging away at me psychologically. Yes. That's like, you know, what are other things that you can recognize that the friends that you need to maybe dump that?
Yeah, and I would say just because a friendship is toxic doesn't mean you need to throw it away. It could just use a reset. A friendship reset, which I talk about in my book.
So for $19.95, exactly. Friendship reset below this video. Sorry,
$14.95, way cheaper than that.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Only $14.95.
I want it to be accessible.
That's awesome.
I'm not here to be rich in things of the world. Okay, so just because a friendship maybe is getting the whiff of toxicity doesn't mean you need to throw it out. We can talk about that in a second. But other ways that you can tell a friendship is toxic, when you're lonely when you're with them, you're lonely the moment you leave them. You feel worse about yourself. You feel more anxious. You look back on the things that you did when you hung out and you're like, those weren't things I really wanted to do anyway. We were gossiping. We were complaining. Mm. We were just on our phones the whole time. I think about like when you go to a movie theater and you eat movie theater popcorn. When you leave the movie theater, you just like, you feel so gross. You enjoyed it while it was happening.
Yeah, it's awful.
But it's, and I, so I think those, so, you can have friends who you go to church with and you pray with. Great, I hope you do. But those same friends could be gossiping, could be listening to terrible music in the car, could be making you feel worse when you're with them. And just because they make you feel that way doesn't mean you need to throw it out. Also, it could be you, you know. It could be you not calling that person on unholiness. But if any part of you is thinking, this isn't helping me become who God is calling me to be, then you need to really look at it. And decide, ask God if this is a friendship you're called to leave or a friendship that you're called to reset and restart, which he loves to do. He loves to make all things new.
How do you know the difference?
Between toxicity and...
Well, between like whether to chuck a friendship out or to...
Yeah, I think you pray, you ask God. I think about the fig tree when the parable of the fig tree where the landowner's like, this fig tree isn't growing any figs. And one is like, burn it down and throw it in a fire. And the other person's like, no, let me work on it. I think the default should be let me work on it, and only when the Lord makes it clear that this is not growing, this is not going anywhere, then you could take steps away. But I think the default to be should be to try to save what you already have, to help grow, to make positive changes in your own life, to call your friend on in holiness, to challenge them, to see if you can make positive changes in the friendship. And if only you feel like you've put in the work, you've been honest, and there's no change or growth, that's maybe where you take some steps away.
That whole approach requires recognizing that friendships are valuable things.
Yes, they're worth the effort. Yeah. They are worth the effort, Chris. in romantic relationships, people think they're worth the effort. Oh, we're going through a tough time, and with my boyfriend and girlfriend, we're going to talk about it. We're going to counseling. We're going to pray. But so often when people encounter a hardship in their friendship, they just want to throw it away. And I think that's really damaging. Are there times when you're supposed to step away from friendships? Yes, absolutely. But just because something requires effort doesn't mean that it is bad. The Christian life requires effort. Discipline requires effort. Exercise requires effort. Are those things bad? No, they're super good. They are wonderful for you. Just because something is hard doesn't mean it's bad. And God will reveal to you if this is you slamming your head against the wall or if this is the growth that's necessary.
This is a hand-me-down from Gen X, man. It's like the me generation. My apologies. My apologies. Yeah. I'm sorry. Though we did a lot of cool things. I mean, we gave you Tom Cruise, Oprah.
Wow.
There's some great stuff.
What a good combination. Are those your next guests?
That's right. But seriously, that idea that we should quickly discard that which is coming in the way of me fulfilling my desires, myself, my destiny.
Sure.
It leads, Pope Francis called it the throwaway culture.
Ooh,
everything from abortion to quickly deleting a friendship online to carrying that thinking over into live friendships.
Yeah.
Just poof. That's wild. So how do you rebuild a friendship that's broken?
Sure.
That needs fixing?
Yeah, well, it's always going to start with prayer. You know, we pray for our spouses. We pray for our jobs. We pray for our health. Do we pray for our friendships? I don't think enough people do. We have to pray intentionally. Pray and fast. Do novenas. Come before the Lord. Get in His Word. Go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Recognize where you failed, because you have. It's not just this friend. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help rebuild my friendships, because God wants us to have good, solid friendships. Genesis 2:18, God's first assessment of human nature is, it's not good for man to be alone. God wants us in good, solid bonds. So this is His desire for you. Will there be seasons of loneliness? Of course. But ultimately, God wants you in relationships. So pray, ask God, and then you have to be honest and you have to be brave. Right? The devil doesn't want you to be honest and he doesn't want you to be brave. God wants you to be honest and brave. So you have to, okay, ask for courage. Lord, help me to be honest. Help me to be humble. Help me to be patient. Help me to be kind. Help me to approach my friend and say, hey, bestie girl, hey, you have been my best friend since kindergarten. And I love hanging out with you. I have so many memories with you. And I want to be friends with you for the foreseeable future. But I feel like we're going through this rough patch right now. Do you feel that? Is this just me? What's going on? And you identify the core issues. We've been going to too many parties and we've been drinking. And in this situation, you're underage. And the people that you've been dating, I don't know, identify whatever the issue is. The concrete issue that you feel like is causing the struggle. And say, I want to work through this together. I think this is an impediment to our friendship, is an impediment to our virtue. So like, let's not go to parties just for this month. Let's not do that. And let's see how that improves our friendship and improves our relationship with God. Or the person that you're dating, like Sarah, that's always my default name, Sarah. Sarah, I don't think this is the best person for you. And I feel like it's pulling you away from me and it's pulling you away from God. Identify the issue. Tell them you're going to help them with the issue. And see if things change. If they do change, glory to God. Praise be to God. Maybe that friend needed you to be brave, to be honest, to be bold, and to call them out. Maybe that's what they needed to hear. If the friend refuses, be patient, be kind, keep trying. But I feel like in a few months, if they haven't made signs of wanting to change, you don't have to ghost the person. You don't have to never talk to them again. But maybe you take steps back so you can spend that time forming other good, solid friendships.
I love that you use the word courage to be brave.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that destroys friendships. The lack of, I like the word interpersonal courage.
Ooh.
Right? I heard Pat
Lencioni.
So good. Isn't that a great word?
Did you come up with that?
No, Pat Lencioni told me that.
Okay.
I had a confrontation with someone and he's like, that took a lot of interpersonal courage.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a type of courage I never thought about before.
But
friendship should be evangelistic. Like it should lead people to heaven.
Yes.
And I've done this. Like, as you're talking, I'm examining my conscience. There's friendships I've had where the person I'm hanging out with just is talking like an idiot repeatedly and just bringing me down spiritually.
Yeah.
It's like,
And
then instead of saying, hey, I don't want to talk that way, but I love you.
Let's
and I don't
want to
hang
this.
Out with you if we keep talking that way.
Instead
of doing that,
that's so good, Chris.
Instead of doing that, though, I often I'm just going to go and hang out with other people.
Yeah.
And then what God wanted to happen, which is an uncomfortable encounter.
Yeah.
It just becomes like another delete on my Instagram, Facebook thread.
And maybe that would happen anyway. Maybe you challenge the friend to be better and maybe they refuse. So then there's a gentle pulling away. But you have to challenge your friends. I want my friends to challenge me. Because I want to become a saint. I want to become the person that God is calling me to be. And that's not going to happen on my own. I need other people to challenge me with love. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, and keeps no track of wrongs. But I want a friend who, with love and charity, challenges me. And this has happened so many times in my life. I wrote this book not because I have been a good friend. I have written this book because I've had so many good friends who've taught me the value of this.
Even the annoying ones. I love thinking of St. Therese. You know the story?
I'm sure you know the story.
That after she died, one of the sisters in her convent said, like, oh, we were best friends.
Oh, no. She hated you. Yeah.
Well, she didn't technically hate her, but it came out in her diary.
Caused her great vexation.
Yeah, is that the words?
I don't know.
In her diary, it came out. The sister drove her crazy, and she had a hard time conversing with her, praying with her.
Yeah.
But then chose, I'm going to be extra close to that person.
So good.
To make me holy.
Yeah.
That's intense, man.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different approach to friendship. It's like, I'm going to be a friend to configure myself to Jesus. I love that he said, I call you friends.
He calls us friends. If God calls us friends, why do we not take friendship seriously? We're supposed to have friendship with the Lord, but I just feel like it's so neglected. Yeah. Friendship, it's just a casual thing people don't really think about. If God calls us friends, we have to be really aware of who we call friends and how we behave as a friend.
No greater love has man than lay down his life for his girlfriend or boyfriend or snuggle on Valentine's Day. No, to lay down his life for his
friend.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Like that meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's very cool. I have chills.
Yeah, me too. It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Some lies people believe about friendships that stop them from making friends.
Yeah. I think there's...
You probably covered a handful already, but...
No, that's okay. I love to yap. I think there's two main lies people believe about friendship. The first is that they don't need it. I encounter this a lot with men. Mm. I met a man this week who said to me that friendship is overrated.
Was this a potential boyfriend?
Yes.
Is he no longer because of that statement?
There's a lot of other reasons, but he was talking to me how he thinks friendship is overrated. And then he's like, actually, I'm writing a book about it. I said, are you really? And he said, no. And I said, oh, actually, I wrote a book about friendship and how friendship is, I just think a lot of men, I don't know for whatever reason, if they're too afraid of being called gay, if they're too afraid of, I don't know.
It's tragic.
And most men I know, their best friends are the friends they made in high school because they haven't learned how to make friendships. Since, or their friends are only the people they watch sports with, and I love sports, but it needs to be deeper. So this is not me critiquing men. I love men, and I pray for them, and I know they're called to be incredible men, incredible saints. So many men, and other people too, have been convinced that they don't need friends. They only need a girlfriend. They only need a boyfriend. They only need a spouse. It's a waste of time. It's too much drama.
And we're miserable as a result.
Yeah, I'm better alone, or let me only keep the friendships compartmentalize. These are my workout buddies. These are my coworkers, and not going deeper. So it's the lie that we don't need friends, and we look to Jesus. That man had friends. He had so many levels and layers of friends and closeness, and he still, of course, had time one-on-one with the Lord. He had times of solitude, he had 40 days in the desert. But I think one lie is we don't need friends. They're overrated. Or I've seen this with young women. They say friendships are too much drama. And I've been hurt too many times, so...
So therefore...
I'll just do it alone.
I got food poisoning once. I'm not going to eat anymore.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's one lie. And especially because of COVID, people were pulled away from their friends. They asked themselves, do I even really need them?
Male-female friendships.
Yeah.
Controversial view on that.
Oh,
yes. Hot take. Go.
Oh, my. How much time do we have? Can men and women be friends? Yes, they absolutely should be. Yeah. I have so much to learn from my guy friends. Guy friends have so much to learn from me. Can a man and a woman be best friends? I don't think it's healthy. Yeah. I think one-on-one, emotionally vulnerable, time that you spend with another person, that is called dating, but without the label. Yeah. So if there's no label, then there's no accountability, there's no commitment.
Yeah.
And too many people, myself included in the past, I would date someone, but I just wouldn't have the label on it. I would just say we're really good friends. Mm. And I think that's harmful for both people. And so when I was in high school, I had a lot of guys who I considered my best friends, who I, of course, hoped that they would love me or they were hoping the same thing.
Yeah.
And I remember a priest friend of mine said to me, Maggie, you have a lot of really good guy friends. Talk to me about that. I'm like, well, you know, like St. Francis and St. Clair, they were best friends. And the priest rolls his eyes at me and he goes, Maggie, you're not as holy as St. Clair. And none of the men you're hanging out with are holy like St. Francis. Mm. So men and women, we can be friends. We must be friends. We must lean on each other. But a best friend, when you're spending one-on-one time together, when you're really vulnerable and sharing your heart, and you're, that should be in a dating relationship that's leading to marriage. Mm. And many of my good guy friends, they really pulled away once they got married. Mm. And I was like, that is good. And that is healthy because that should be directed towards their spouse. We still hang out. We still say, hey.
Totally.
But, and young people, Chris, people have been so mad at me for this.
For saying statement. This?
Yes.
This sounds so obvious to
me. Well, because you're grown up.
Because I'm old.
Every single adult I have said this to have been like, yes. And most teenagers I have said this to have like publicly yelled at me. And I, God bless you teens. I love you.
But you're wrong.
I think they don't have the wisdom to see what is best in this situation. Yeah. And to anyone, any single woman who believes she's called to marriage and any single guy who is called to marriage, if you guys are best friends, I dare you to ask the other person on a date. What are you going to lose? You're already dating anyway.
Like, 100%, man.
If you think the person that you're spending time with is wonderful and great and amazing, okay, maybe they don't look like Jacob Elordi. Maybe they don't look like Sydney Sweeney or Margot Robbie. Maybe they're not your idea of your type, but if you love spending time with them, if they make you happy in the best possible version, date them. Don't be a coward.
You want to marry your best friend.
Yeah.
That makes for a fun
it's
life.
It's the goal.
Completely. But it does. It takes a lot of years of maturing to realize.
Lots of.
Even with it, after people get married, it's like you're navigating what's it mean to have friendships with a woman. And, and then almost exclusively it becomes people who are connected also to my wife. And then it's normal and healthy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, it's just, I wanted to say something else about that. Oh, yeah. St. Francis and Claire. I love that example. There's beautiful stories of Francis preaching in front of the poor Claires, and he pulled his hood down and looked at the ground the entire time he was preaching to them. Right?
What a guy.
Probably because he knew the fire in his own heart that he would fall in love with these people. And like he's drawing the right boundaries.
Because he would fall in love in the virtue with them. And think about when St. Francis, I think he was tempted with lust. He threw himself in a rose bush. He dunked himself in a icy pool. The men that I was friends with, they wouldn't have done that. Yeah. And neither would have I. So God bless Francis. Yeah. We want men who are that heroic and treat women that well. Yeah. But
There's the demonic battle that the evil one wants us to be isolated. And he's done a dang good job in society through the internet, through COVID, and making us isolated individuals just looking at our phones all day. There's also human nature that, I mean, this is a law in the animal kingdom. You know, I've had cats that, if we can consider them part of the animal kingdom. My wife's a cat guy.
So you're a cat guy by default?
Kind of. I like dogs better. Though you know, I guess, you know, cats do have a way of sinking their claws into my heart.
Wow.
We actually have a kitten in the house right now that has a neurological disorder, and it's constantly shaking, and it's half blind, but it loves me.
Well, and you need that kind of shallow affection, do you?
I do.
I stole that line. Continue your story about cats.
So because of all my father wounds, I'm kidding, Dad. I have to have the affection of this cat to feel complete as I'm kidding.
Yeah, I get that.
But there's what brought me to cats. Yeah, cats.
Animal kingdom.
If a cat's dying, it'll just disappear.
Yeah.
Like it experiences its own weakness and safety is removing itself. I mean, people do the same dang thing.
The elephant wandering away from the herd to go die.
Yeah, it's really tragic, right? It's a tragic thought. But we do that interiorly. We withdraw in a thousand ways. Vulnerability is a key thing, right? And intimacy that we've come to only associate with romantic relationships. Like Jesus, John rested his head on Jesus' chest.
So tender, so tender.
Right? Like we literally, if we could bring a camera back 2,000 years ago and show that right now, people would have no idea how to process that.
Yeah.
Here's
I think it's beautiful.
Manly men.
Showing affection for each other.
How do we work against our own nature? to achieve vulnerability, which is so necessary. Otherwise, you don't even have a friend if you're not vulnerable with each other.
Yeah, you have to be vulnerable. Well, what is natural for us isn't always for our good, you know? So Jesus tells us to be born again, born anew. So just because it's maybe natural for you to be more closed off, that doesn't mean it's good for you. So just because something's natural doesn't mean you have to do it, okay?
Yeah.
So we have to be brave. You have to take steps of vulnerability every day. It's not going to happen overnight. And you have to trust that you're not so unique in your own brokenness, like that the people around you are just as broken too. So like, let me give you an example. My junior year of college, I was struggling, classic, and I felt like super isolated and really alone. And after a couple months of this, I realized I needed to tell someone.
Yeah.
So I called up one of my friends and I was like, can we go on a walk? I love a walk conversation because you don't like look at each other, you know, so it's sometimes easier. And I walk and I was like, listen, I just have to tell you this. And I pour everything out and I was so embarrassed and I was so ashamed. And after I finished talking, she starts laughing. I was like, what, you sinner, why are you laughing? And she's like, well, I'm just laughing because you thought you were alone. She's like, of course I'm going through the same thing too. And like half our friends are. So you had this idea, I'm just laughing because you thought that you're so alone. That's what I really needed. So to be vulnerable in Latin comes from the word vulnus, which means wounds. So to be vulnerable means to show your wounds. And Jesus showed us his wounds
first.
Dang,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's vulnus. Gorgeous. I took one Latin class in college, got a D, and I'm a Latin scholar.
You got the most important word.
Vulnus. So Jesus, of course, when he comes to us, when he rises from the dead and he says to his apostles, peace be with you, he shows us his wounds. He's vulnerable.
Chills.
So
look, close up.
Film his hair.
That's incredible.
So when we are vulnerable with each other, we're imitating Jesus Christ and we're saying, here are my wounds. Here's the things that I'm ashamed of. And then when we're vulnerable, that gives the other people permission to say, here are my wounds too. Because we love to keep ourselves wrapped up. We pretend we're totally fine. We have no issues. All of us have issues. St. Paul says all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. John says, if we say that we're without sin, we're liars. All of us have sinned. All of us have wounds. Some are wounds that other people have given us that aren't our faults, like through community, through divorce, through the failings of people around us. But all of us have wounds of sin that we have caused ourselves, and we keep them hidden, and that keeps us isolated. We keep a mask on. But when we have the courage to take off the mask, to unwrap the bandage and expose our wounds, we say to another person, I need something. And that person has the opportunity to say, I need something too. We can seek the Lord together. Vulnerable, you have to be brave. It's so scary to do it. And here's the way to do it. Not on Twitter, X, not on Snapchat.
What about TikTok?
No.
TikTok.
We can talk about TikTok later. I've seen people like post on their private stories on Instagram, like, I'm having a mental breakdown. Sweetheart, that is not the place for it.
Right?
You have to practice with a good friend who has proven him or herself to be reliable, to be trustworthy. And you have to tell them, I need help. I'm struggling. This is part of my past. This is what's going on. And see how they respond. Most often they will put their arm around you and say, I'm so sorry. Or I'm here with you. I love you the same. Or I'm going through that too. And if they don't respond that way, that gives you a bit of an insight into who they are. And then maybe you can start looking for people who can receive your vulnerability too.
Mm. Wow. That image of Jesus is so powerful. I got to say, I got to my brothers out there real quick. A lot of guys think that showing your weakness is unmanly. No. Jesus is the ultimate man. It takes courage to say, hey, here's the wound. Look at my hand.
Invites Thomas, he says, stick your fingers in my wounds. Come know my divinity through my own vulnerability. And that's what Thomas does. So I think we know our humanity through our vulnerability with each other.
And there's times where I've been going through stuff where I've realized, okay, I've hit a threshold where the amount I have to share, I should pay someone.
Amen. That's
belongs
fair.
In counseling.
Yeah. Counseling, confessions, spiritual direction. Right. We love those here.
And confession's actually free. You don't have to pay someone for
that. Yeah, it's only $10.99 a month. No, it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a great gift to give someone when you reveal your wounds.
Yeah.
I had a buddy drop by my office the other day, just like, man, I'm stressing out. I'm angry. My job is driving me crazy. And I thought, you just opened a super highway of vulnerability.
Yes. Yes.
Right, where if I'm going through the same kind of thing, I come to your office now. I just got your permission to do that.
It's the expectation.
Yeah.
He was courageous enough to say, this is how our friendship is going to be now. We're going to be vulnerable with each other. We're also going to go laugh and eat some wings and play golf. Like, we're going to do what we like to do. But there's going to be the understanding of we're going to share what's really going on.
What do you say to the person who's listening or watching and thinking, but I'm an introvert. I actually loved the COVID shutdowns. Yeah. I wanted to move to California to extend it as long as possible.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's just not me. You know, it's just not me. How do you respond to that?
Well, I love my introverts. Almost all of my friends are introverts. And then I can come the extrovert and speak their face off. Introverts, you are so wonderful. You have a place in the kingdom. You deserve friends. We cannot use any label as an excuse for intimacy. Mm. Whether that's introvert, extrovert, ambivert, because you like to be different. Whether you're...
What was the last one?
Ambivert. It's when people like to be both. They just want more attention. Your Myers-Briggs, your personality, your birth order. Whatever. These labels are fine. They help you understand yourself. Mm. Nothing is an excuse for vulnerability. Do you have to be popular? No. Do you have to have a million friends? No. That would be horrible. Mm-hmm. But you need good, solid friendships. You're made for that. You're born for that. You don't have to be a stand-up comedian. The best way, I think, to make friends is you ask questions and you listen. Hmm. You find someone that you think, they're really great. I want to get to know them. And you ask them. So often we think to get friends, we have to peacock. We have to impress and show our coolest qualities. The best friends, the friends that I love the most, they ask questions and they listen. Hmm. And they think intentionally and they respond. So introverts, you have to be brave. Extroverts, you have to listen. But an introvert, put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to thrive. So an introvert, they typically like smaller situations. Okay, your high school has a youth group on Sunday, a gathering of 300 people. That's going to be overwhelming for you. But if you go early and if you help volunteer to set up chairs, there's only going to be 10 people. It's a great place to get to know other people. You on the retreat, that's like overwhelming. You help out in the kitchen. There's five of you in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. That's a smaller group. Great. You go to Bible study where there's 10 people. Great. That's an achievable number. Set yourself up for success. Don't avoid all those situations, but know yourself. Know I'm going to do better in a smaller group, a smaller situation, or maybe I'm going to need a buddy. Bring a buddy. Mm-hmm. But don't make excuses for yourself because you deserve friendships no matter how you define yourself.
How about next level from introvert, social anxiety disorder just on the rise?
Yeah.
How do people get around that to make friends? Obviously, they need counseling.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Like, let's clarify that. Also, Louise Brown Counseling. That's my older sister. She counsels people in Colorado who have social anxiety, who have other issues. You could look her up.
Link below in the video.
Link below. I'm very proud of my sister.
That's awesome.
Do I believe people have diagnosable social anxiety? Sure. Do I believe everyone has a level of social anxiety? Sure.
I hear you.
So... are you doing the steps of going to counseling, going to therapy? Are you getting the tools that you need? And then with all those tools, you still have to put yourself in the situation to make friends and recognize that everyone around you is nervous and afraid too.
So yeah, but this thread is really, it keeps coming up in my head. Courage,
you
be
have
brave.
To be courageous.
Like this involves doing uncomfortable things. It is more comfortable to be alone and yet miserable.
It's so miserable. So it's going to be hard. I'm thinking of so many situations where college students, you're back at school right now. You signed up for a bunch of clubs, but you don't want to go and you're so afraid. You have to walk through the door. A friend isn't going to bust down your door and drag you out to spend time with them. Maybe you get along with your roommate, but maybe not. You have to put yourself in that situation. You have to be brave and recognize so many other people are afraid too. So find those people who maybe are nervous, who are shy, who are on the sidelines. Sit next to them, talk to them, ask them their name, ask questions, and then treat yourself afterwards. So you went to a big event and you're scared and you're nervous. Okay, go back to your room, watch your favorite episode of The Office, drink a boba tea, take care of yourself because you were brave, but you have to keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you meet people.
Yeah. Gosh, Gen X went to college and escaping it to Call of Duty or the internet was not an option.
No.
We literally would all just go out in the quad and look around.
Yeah.
And like,
just look at things.
I'm lonely.
Throw a frisbee.
Is someone going to come along?
Climb a tree.
Yeah.
And in some ways that was good because it forced you out of your comfort zone.
Oh, it was great for
us. You had no other option.
Yeah.
Something that I really liked that my parents did when I was in college, they didn't let me have food in my dorm room. I was so annoyed. I was like, what if I need mac and cheese? They're like, then get your tushy to the dining hall.
Right.
Like you will leave your room and you will interact with people. Otherwise, I was just going to be trapped in my own room. You have to get outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of it comes down to those little things that make us uncomfortable. We got to do anyway because we think we'll be rejected. Or like I'm in a small group. I'm sure you have a small group of people that I meet. Just Jesus had Peter, James, John.
Yep.
But that that started with an uncomfortable thing.
Yes.
Reaching out and saying, hey, bros, would you meet once a month over coffee and yeah. just spiritually check in and see mm-hmm. how we can pray for each other and yeah. just say how you doing and, yeah. and share. You feel almost dumb doing that. Yes. And it's like anyone you're going to ask to do that with you is dying to be asked.
Yes. And every single person I know in the universe
yeah.
wants good friends and new friends. And if you ever meet someone who says, I don't want new friends, then you don't want to be friends with them.
Totally.
Everyone wants.
Everyone does.
Even if they're super busy, you want good, solid friends. But we're so afraid of looking needy and weak. Mm. We're too often to make the first move. But if you reach out, you face the fear of rejection. But you have to know everyone that you're reaching out to mm-hmm. wants relationships as well.
Yeah, and even those little things too. Like if you're thinking, I wish someone would be this presence in my life. Instead of wallowing in that, maybe just try to be that presence in someone else's
exactly.
life.
Exactly. I wish someone would go to this concert with me. Have you asked anyone else?
Yeah. We're all like on stand. It's like a standoff. It's like a whole society standoff. Like,
are you going to do it?
You going to do it? You going to move first?
My parish priest.
Like, you
in
send
high school,
a text. Say, how you doing? Thinking of you.
He said that you have to take off your bib and put on the apron. Mm. Like, we have to stop expecting people are going to spoon feed friendships to us. Because that's what happened in elementary school. You sat next to the person next to you, alphabetically, they were your best friend. Or a person on your soccer team, you saw them every day. Now, we have to make friends for, like, the first time in our lives, and it's so scary. But you have to take off that bib. You have to get to work. People want friends. They want you to be their friend. Yeah, you'll have some rejection, but if you stay in your room and never try, you will be lonely and miserable.
Take off the bib.
That was Father Kevin Albert from Hudson,
Cheers.
Ohio. Thank you,
Cheers,
Father Kevin.
Cheers, Father Kevin. Link to his Instagram below the video. I don't even know if he has an Instagram.
But I don't think he has an Instagram. He's probably at Cedar Point.
Yeah. you know, a lot of this comes down to, I don't care what phase you're at in life. You're a college student, you're a teenager, mm-hmm. you're a parent who's busy with their kids. What's urgent crowds out what's important in life.
Ooh.
And I.
Whoa, can you say that again?
What's urgent crowds out what's important.
That's good.
And this conversation is a godsend, mm-hmm. and I hope everybody listens to the entire thing all the way through and mm-hmm. shares it with people, because we have to be reminded to just make time
yes.
for the little bits of effort to and the results. You're yeah. avoiding the isolation the evil one wants you in.
Yeah.
You're going to be physically healthier. You're going to be mm-hmm. spiritually healthier. Mm-hmm. You're going to be evangelistic and change the world
yeah.
if you just are intentional about friendships.
Yeah.
What's some of the most surprising feedback you've gotten to this book, to this message, as you go around and speak about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a woman, so I think a lot of people who read this book expected it only to be for women, mm-hmm. and I love my women, but I also have truth that's for men as well. So it was lovely and gratifying for men to say that they needed to hear it. Even sometimes people, I think a lot of people thought this book was like for teenage girls, and it can be, but I've known men who had like a small group where they read this book together and they're in their 50s. And I think the truth is we need friendships no matter what stage or age. And I knew this, but it was really gratifying. And I think for my publishers to know that people of all ages need friendships, mm-hmm. no matter your vocation, no matter your location, no matter your age. You need good, solid Christian friendships, and it's worth the effort.
Amen. Well, on that note, thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
I don't know what's going on. Is that a song lyric? Did you just like trap into a different personality?
So there's two groups of people who will know exactly
what that was.
Number one, if you're in Gen X and your parents watched the Golden Girls and you watched it with them. That's
okay,
the first
group.
Okay,
if he was saying it for me, I would have been able to get it.
Did you watch
it? But not like death eye staring into the camera.
I couldn't resist. Sorry, that was a really stupid ending, but kind of awesome at the same time.
I'll take it.
Seriously, thanks for reminding us mm-hmm. to focus on really simple, powerful mm-hmm. things that can change our lives.
Yeah.
That's what this show's about.
Yeah.
So, and thanks for your witness, and thanks for preaching to people who don't want to hear you. Thanks for talking to our teenage kids who want to kill you because you're at their confirmation retreat.
I love you. And
slingshot chickens at you while you're trying to speak.
That's terrible.
You're amazing.
Thanks, high five. Chris.
Yeah, keep doing
Bless
what you do.
Brother.
Yeah. And seriously, guys, you're amazing too. We love you. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.